The following lecture, titled Divine Help to Establish Unity, was recorded Sunday, November the 16th, 1997, at the Northwest Activity Center in Detroit, Michigan. The lecturer is Imam W. Dean Muhammad, Muslim American spokesman, and now Imam Muhammad.
As-salamu alaykum. Praise be to Allah, the Lord, sustainer of all the worlds. We witness that he's one and needs nothing from any of his creations, but everything of his creations must depend upon him, is sustained and supported and sustained by him, the Lord God, creator of the heavens and the earth. And we witness that the message of Islam came to the world through Muhammad, the last prophet, the servant and messenger of God, who is called by God in the revelation, the Quran, the book of the Muslims, a mercy to all the worlds. We witness that he is God's servant and his messenger. The prayers and the peace be upon him. We have a topic or a subject today, divine help. Divine help to establish community. I would like to begin by first sharing with you who don't know and reminding you who do of the societies on this earth that have been helped by God. They received divine help from God. The mic's a little sensitive here. They received divine help from God to establish community life. And they are known today for that, and they do not hide that from anybody. The Jews, as we call them, they received divine help to establish their community life. Many prophets came to them to help them establish their lives. But one of those prophets that they identify as, quote, the greatest of their prophets, is Moses, Musa, in the language of our holy book, Musa. Musa, or Moses, came to give to them or lead them to community establishment. And this prophet Moses, peace be upon the prophets, he's seen also as a liberator. That's one of his titles in the Jewish community, a liberator. He helped them to see their way out of bondage, out of subjection, slavery, subordination to another people that they say was against them having the life that God wanted them to have. Called the Egyptians under a cruel leader, one of their pharaohs, Ramses. So these people, we call the Jewish people, they're well known for the help that they receive to establish themselves after bondage or after slavery in Egypt. That help that they received through Moses, it was divine help, came from God to them through Moses. We won't go to any length to describe or to share with you the actual things that occurred to bring them to have a community life after they were subjects of a cruel Pharaoh and oppressive Egypt, according to, well, I would say both scriptures, their scriptures and also Quran, our Muslims, Muslim scripture, scripture to Muslim. But we will say a few things that I think are very important. Moses is seen in the Bible organizing the leaders so that they would be able to function as a society under law, under divine law. We read in the Bible, or what is called the Old Testament, we read where Moses organized the professional class of people, the skilled people, the educated people, the skilled people, even the musicians. He organized all of them. He called them all together to organize them so that they would have organization, government, a system of government. So that's enough said there to establish that the Jews were given divine help so that they could have established community life. The Christians of Europe and America and now the world, they also were given divine help to establish community life. Their movement we call the Protestant movement that Martin Luther headed up. It was taken up by the pilgrims who came from oppression. They too were oppressed. They too were subjected. They too were denied religious freedom. By the Church of England, the great church that dominated Europe. And they were led by Martin Luther, a great figure in religion, to come out of that subjection to that church and form what we now know to be the Protestant faith. Those pilgrims who came to this, to these shores, the new land, the new world, they were the first to come here. They came here so that they could establish their lives, so that they would have freedom of religion in a new land where the church could not deny them, the old church, Church of England, could not deny them their rights. They call that new opportunity, that new chance to establish their life, the new destiny. This is in American history, exactly as I'm giving it to you, the new destiny. They called it the new destiny. So we have an Old Testament, the Jews, and we have a New Testament, the Christians. We have an old destiny, the Jews, and a new destiny, the Christians in America. The Christians in America. So Christians too receive divine help to establish community life. Divine help. They studied what was revealed in the Old Testament and what had come to be the New Testament. And they saw in all of that a direction that they believed God was giving them for a new society on this earth. A society more beautiful, a society more helpful to human beings than the societies of the past, than even old Jerusalem. That's the language they use for the old destiny, old Jerusalem. So for their new Jerusalem, they labored, they sacrificed their lives, they struggled, they sacrificed their children, their wealth. Great sacrifice was made so that they could have the new destiny, the new Jerusalem. So we're living in this society now. We're living in this society. And we're enjoying what we call freedom, American freedom, or American democracy. We're enjoying this in this land, and we may tend to credit government with this and not see the religious role in all of this. The founding fathers of this great concept, this great society we call the American society, American democracy, the founding fathers were religious people. They were Christians. Some of them were read in the Quran. They were knowledgeable of our holy book, the Quran. And it's documented. This is not guesswork I'm giving you. This is documented. This is history. In fact, the leader among them was read in the Quran. Yes. Thomas Jefferson. He didn't only acknowledge it while he lived, he made a point of putting it into print and into history that he read the Bible and the Jewish scriptures, and he also read the Quran. And he also said, which is documented, and I have documents at home, he also said that he hoped that this land would also attract Muslims, so that Muslims would come here too, to this land. Why would the great designer, architect of the Constitution of these United States, at least he set the framework for it, why would he, with his colleagues, desire Muslims, that Muslims one day join Christians and live with Christians here in this country? Because he saw the similarity for Christianity and Islam in terms of the vision for man in society and a just order. He saw that both these religions were saying the same thing. And he wanted help in this country for the Christians from a people who shared the great vision, Muslims. This is documented. Divine help has made America great. It is divine help that has made America great. When this country now goes too much to the secular extremes, away from faith in God and respect for religious values, in time, the people are disturbed by it. They become very uncomfortable, and they soon have leaders to lead them to put pressure on the government to bring the balance back. We're living in that kind of time right now. That's the time we're living in right now. When the religious people that respect the values, the old established traditional values, begin to ask their leaders, and their leaders respond to them, to do something about this terrible condition in our lives. We have too much secularism and no respect for faith. They respond to that demand on them, and they put pressure on our government to bring the healthy balance back. We are living now in a society that owes its strength and its longevity not to politics, but to religion. Praise be to Allah. Allahu Akbar. Allah is greater. God is greater. The greatest. Yes. And His word is greater. His word is the greatest. And we look at these great accomplishments of these nations, and we marvel and we admire men and forget that they couldn't have accomplished this without God. And if they turn away from God, they will lose it. Yes. Divine help to establish community. Societies that receive divine help. I just pointed to two that we can readily recognize in history. The Jewish movement, the Jewish people struggle for freedom, and the Protestant struggle for freedom. And the church, old Church of England, made a mistake. Yes, it made a mistake. It was formed after centuries of debate. Not 100 years, but after centuries of debate, it was finally established what Christianity is. But all during all that time, they couldn't establish what Christianity is. When they finally established it, what do we have? We had Catholicism. The Gnostics, Christians, called Gnostics. Gnostics comes from the word nous. Nous is the same as psyche and maybe soul, psyche. So the Gnostics were given that name because they believed that the power of man to achieve was in his psyche. And if you didn't have powerful psyche, or noticeable, outstanding psyche, spiritual evolvement, spiritual elevation, mysterious powers, if you didn't show any sign that you had that distinction, you were not one in the leadership of that order, the Gnostic order. There's a lot I would like to tell you today about this, but this is not the subject. It's not on the subject. There'll be another subject. Yes. So these people made a big mistake. They were innocent. They thought they were right. They thought that the message of the gospel, or the Injil, we know the proper name for Muslim, the name of the gospel that Jesus brought, it's called Injil. Injil. We know that the direction that God gave them through Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, they missed it. So I wonder if Muslim scholars will ever pick up this interest and study what is revealed in the Quran regarding this big happening in history. You think the Quran left out that? You think Allah revealed something to Muhammad and left out this big issue? No, he did not. This issue is addressed in the Quran. And the Christians are called the Dalin. The Dalin. Quranic Arabic term meaning that they missed the mark. They missed what they were after. They were after going, they were after reaching something, and they missed it. Dalla means to miss something. Like if I want to pitch my pen to this brother here wearing this beautiful headpiece, like a hat, Fez Morocco. The Moors in Fez Morocco. I know you wouldn't wear that cap without some knowledge of that. Yes, great history of Africans on the continent of Africa. Yes. Yes, if I would pitch my pen to him, and it would go over there somewhere, some kind of, at my age, that's what the ball does. When I try to throw it to my son, I used to throw straight. Well, I haven't been practicing, so I throw something and throw it. He has to try to run over and catch it, you know. So if I would do it, I would miss what I aim for. I'm aiming to pitch it to his hand, and it hits over there in the seat. I miss what I was aiming for. That's called Dalla. Dalla, you see? So Dalin is the name for many who missed. They're called the Dalin. Many Gnostics who were after the trying to see the aim in Christianity. They missed it. And they thought that they were to have a theocracy. And that the only the ones that they thought had divine spark, this great psyche, would be accepted in that leadership. So this is the beginning of the Dalin. You see? This is the beginning of the Dalin, the Gnostic order. It has a great, great place in Islam. The revelation regarding this order has a great place in Islam. I've said something regarding it in talks I've given in the past. One day, inshallah, I'll address it head on one day. Okay. Inshallah, I said. Yes, so we know societies receive divine help. Those societies receive divine help but misinterpret it. Now, when you read of the mission that Allah gave, God Almighty gave, the Prophet Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, when you read of it, you see that his order of responsible helpers is called just that, helpers. Jesus said, who will be helpers in the Quran? Jesus said, who will be helpers with me? And some of the people that he had attracted to himself, they were convinced that he was a man of God. They responded. They say, we are your helpers for God, for God's sake. We are your helpers for God's sake. It means we are your helpers to in the path that will take us to God. We are your helpers. We will join you in this struggle that you have taken up, that we hope will lead us to God. Lead us to God? What is it? What to be? Lead us to God? Oh, so that's why they went off. They thought that it was a path literally to God, literally. So the Gnostics went up in the sky, went up in heaven to find God. And lost the mark, missed the mark, Dalla. That's what happened. But God let there be inspired among them in time, under great suffering. God always comes to people. He won't let us suffer too much. We will never suffer beyond our capacity to endure it. And that's what Allah says. He does not cause any soul to suffer beyond its capacity to endure it. Yes. So that means the Christians too. Aren't they souls too? He said any soul. So Allah let there come to the Christian community that was oppressed, subjected, persecuted, cruelly treated, because they wanted what they thought was the better understanding in Christianity, the Protestant under Martin Luther. So God knew that man was there, so he gave him helpers from his angels. And for men, he gave him helpers so that he would have help from God, divine help, to see his way out of the darkness of that church that they were under, to come into the light of freedom. Not so much the light of the whole light of revelation. This is just one particular movement. This is not a movement of the whole religion. This is a movement of people who want freedom. This is a freedom movement we're talking about. What am I saying now? Or what am I alluding to now? I don't think the Protestants have the best understanding of Christianity, but they most certainly had the best understanding of freedom. Freedom of religion. They certainly had the best understanding of freedom of religion. And that's why the old church has had to accept that understanding from the Protestants. Now both Protestant and Catholics accept that we should have religious freedom. Help, divine help to communities. Most of us understand religion as help from God to our souls. God giving us help for our souls. The help is coming to my soul from God. We understand this help that's coming to God as help for my personal life, help for my individual life. And as much as I'm free as a person to rule in my own house or to have my way in my own family, then I should have this help from God in my family. So we see it to the person and we see it to the family. But when we go outdoors in the public, we don't see it that way. And this is the way the great deceiver planned for the world to see it. That God is a personal God. That is to reduce the effect of the great religion to the effect of idolatry, to the effect of idol worship. Where the nations that advocated or gave complete freedom to people to have idol worship allowed them to have it as a personal religion. So there were the national deities for the government that all of them were to recognize. But if anybody was displeased or didn't like a particular governmental deity or national god, I'm G-O-D now, not protector, the G-O-D, our national divine figure, they could have their household god. They could have their household deity that they loved best or thought was dearest to them and responsible for their life. They could have that deity. The government wouldn't forbid that, as long as it was personal. They couldn't impose their deity upon the state. Their personal deity couldn't be imposed upon the state. The state decided what deities the public would have as official deities of the state. But you were not obligated to, they wouldn't punish you if you didn't worship Zeus, as long as you worshiped up Duke or whoever you chose to. And you made it your personal business and not the state business, you could do it. So the great deceiver, the Satan himself, he has interfered with the communication of truth to the people. And he has brought even the modern world to see religion as a personal matter. It is a personal matter. It is firstly a personal matter. But that's not where it's to stop. God intends that the mankind, the whole population of the world, come back to him where everything started. Adam, the first man, started because of God creating him.
Right.
And in time, God wants all men, all the children of Adam, have to come back to God,
right,
under God.
Right.
So that's bigger than a personal matter. That's a matter for mankind. That's a matter for the nations. So we've been cheated. The religious people of the world, we've been cheated. And Satan has influenced our societies and our leaders and have blinded them, caused them to miss the mark. And they have shortchanged us. They have given us religious freedom that is not religious freedom at all. It's religious slavery. When religious freedom really comes, then the government is going to respect religion as a bigger matter than politics. And I'm a witness here today with you on this earth, not just in this little place. I'm a witness here with you today on this earth that today is the time of religion. Today is the time of the great triumph, the great victory of the light that God gives, the word that God gives over the light of the world and over the language of the world and over the ideologies of the world. The great message of religion is here and now is going to be seen victorious.
Right.
Communism went its way. And it claimed or bragged that it was going to give man the ideal society. The ideal society. Democracy in America went its way. And it claimed that it was going to give man the ideal society, the great society. The secular world continued to grow. America's values went down. America almost lost its light. Just a decade or so behind us, America was in so much moral trouble, so much spiritual trouble, and we didn't see any hope in the leadership.
Right.
Almost lost its life. Russia collapsed. Communist world collapsed. And now, this is the day of religion.
Right.
The day of religion is here.
Right.
That's God's way. When, not that these nations are Satan, but Satan influenced these nations. I'm not saying the communist world was a Satan. No, I'm not saying that. And I'm not saying that democracy gone astray from the values of religion and the way of God is a Satan. No, I'm not saying that. Those are straying children. But their direction that they took was influenced by the Satan, the great Satan. Yes. And now he has failed. Satan has failed. Allahu Akbar. God is greater. Now, don't think that Satan is like us. When we have a big loss like that, we give it up. idolatry had its day, it failed the hope of mankind. Yes? The worship of the one God over heavens and earth, who's not material or can't be an idol in our hands, succeeded. And all the people of the world came under the rule of the Word of God. Whether you know it or not, I don't have enough time to explain all this to you, to your complete satisfaction, because you are some of you are doubting Thomases. You rather disbelieve than to believe. So you know the doctor can't help somebody that don't want medicine. So I can't stay here with you until you see the light. But I'm telling you the truth. You should take my word. You should take my word, because I've proven worthy of your trust. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Yes, and God is my witness.
Yes, He is. We are also.
Thank you. Yes? Now, God comes with the final revelation, the Quran, and He reveals it to a man who are among the idol worshippers. Judaism and Christianity had not yet brought civilization to that land where the prophet was. God's help came to them in their particular circumstances. Why? Because the great Satan was conspiring against the Arabs, holding back the promise of God through Abraham to the children of Abraham's son Ishmael, or Ismail in Quran. A conspirator among the Jewish people was working against them, having the light come to them. And their cousins, according to their own words, their Semitic cousins, Arabs and Jews. But the bigger brother, the more fortunate brother, the elder among them in the faith, was keeping the younger from getting the light, seeing the light, conspiring against them, holding them back for the day of victory, great victory for the Jewish community. I'm not blaming the Jewish community for this. I'm saying an element among them did this. Holding back from the Arabs, keeping them in paganism and idolatry, until the great day comes for Jewish conquest, for Jewish victory, and the need for them to bring in their Arab cousins. They had to plan, these conspirators, not the innocent Jews, the guilty ones, the conspirators working with the Satan. They knew the plan of God, but they wanted to hold back, so that their victory would be bigger. This is in scripture too. And someday inshallah, we will discuss this as a topic. The scriptures that they had says that though Esau was treated unfairly by his brother Jacob, one day Esau would also get his blessings that God intended for him. And without going as clearly to it as the language goes to Jacob and Esau, the problem of Jacob and Esau, it also goes to the language of Isaac and Ishmael. Isaac, the figure of the Jewish people. Ishmael, the prophet among the, from the Arab people, who with his father, Abraham, Ibrahim in Islamic terminology, built the Kaaba, the house that we all turn to as Muslims now, for unity in worship, unity in prayer, etc., for the unity of mankind. Yes. it is said that rivers will run in the land of the Arabians. This is Bible. And Ishmael would one day get his blessings. Our Prophet Muhammad is a descendant of the Prophet Ishmael or Ismail. He's a descendant of that Prophet. From the wife of the great Prophet Ibrahim, called the Hagar. Now, isn't it strange, or I would say at least noteworthy, that in this country, the racist-minded, superior-minded whites of the Christian, of some of the Christian denominations, called us Hagar's children? They did. They called us Hagar's children, the blacks, in this country, out of doors, out of the house that God wanted us in, out of doors. They called us Hagar's children. Yes. Finally, God chose to give his guidance to a people called Arabs who were denied and cut off. Lost, denied, cut off.
Yes, sir.
But not just for the Arabs. And when he gave it to the Jewish prophets, it was not just for the Jews. If it was just for the Jews, why is all their prophets now our prophets? That's to say and make it clear beyond a shadow of doubt in the religion that we believe in, that in our religion, these are not prophets just for the Jews. They are prophets for mankind. Man, oh man, I'm telling you. This is a great day. Yes. So the guidance comes to one of them and not one of them who was seen as a person devoted to religion. Muhammad was devoted to business before he was called by God. Oh, isn't that strange that God would call a man that was devoted to business? God called Moses, and he was devoted to keeping the house of Pharaoh. That's a little worse, I think, huh? Yes! Moses didn't know where his place in this world. He was a servant of the house of Pharaoh. Yes. And it took one of his own fellow countrymen to tell him, Moses, you're in the wrong place. God is going to choose you to be our deliverer.
Right.
He didn't know it. He ignored that person. But finally God reached him. And he knew
right.
His place on this earth.
Right.
And finally God reached one of the Arabs in darkness, in the time of darkness, gross darkness. and chose him to be his messenger of mercy to all the worlds.
Right.
Oh, but we're too black to identify him with him, Brother Imam, like the Arabs. Oh, he's too black for us whites to identify with him. Brother Imam, he's the son of Hagar, an African woman, through his ancestor, Ishmael. The white may say that, and the black may say that. But God on the day of judgment will say, you knew he had black and white blood in him, didn't you? So without you even understanding religion, you had no excuse.
No, not at all.
He was of the black and of the white. Of the white through Abraham, and of the black through Ishmael, through Hagar and Ishmael. The wife of Abraham, Hagar, and Ishmael, her son, peace be upon them. The white may say that, and the black may say that. But God on the day of judgment will say, you knew he had black and white blood in him, didn't you? So without you even understanding religion, you had no excuse.
No, not at all.
He was of the black and of the white. Of the white through Abraham, and of the black through Ishmael, through Hagar and Ishmael. The wife of Abraham, Hagar, and Ishmael, her son, peace be upon them. There'll be no place to run, no place to hide. Praise be to Allah. Now, the message come to Muhammad, and it plays down the importance of an Arab in the message. It plays up the importance of the language of the Arab, and plays down the importance of an Arab person. And the reason for the Arab language is given that this language is powerful in expression. That is a language that is powerful in expression. And God chose him an Arab with the tongue of an Arab. That means speaking Arabic. And the advantage there is that the language is powerful for communicating the word of God. The language itself is powerful for communicating the word of God. And it's emphasized over and over again that this is a message in Arabic. A Quran in pure Arabic. Pure classical Arabic. That's emphasized. Why? Because God gave the message clearly to his prophets, all of them. He didn't give any of them confusion. He gave all of them clear message. But in time, the people's language became weak. Their language became adulterated. Their language became so adulterated until the language was not pure enough to communicate a pure message. And though the Arabs had themselves lost the way of Abraham and gone into idolatry and had become completely engulfed by darkness, their language was yet a language that had not been influenced by cultural changes, by industrial innovations. Our language is constantly undergoing change because of industry affecting the language, commercial life affecting the language, cultural changes affecting the language. And we don't have a guard over the language, a protecting a group assigned over the language to keep the language from being taken out of its purity for the sake of holding it for God. Latin used to serve that purpose. Latin, for the Catholics, it was a language to serve that purpose, a language that they would not let be corrupt are changed by the world, by the languages of the world, by the new ideas and the new expressions of the world. But Latin became a dead language for the world.
Right.
It's called a dead language. So Latin in this world is dead. But Latin in Catholicism is alive.
Right.
Arabic in the world is dead, but Arabic in the Quran is alive. The Quran came to preserve the purity of Arabic. You can't go to Egypt in the streets of Egypt and find the purity of Arabic. You can't go to the colloquial, the language of the man, the common people in the streets in Arabia, in Mecca, and find the purity of Arabic. You can't go to any Arabic-speaking land and talk to the people, their daily language, their living language for their nation, and get the purity of Arabic? No. You have to read the Quran to get the purity of Arabic. But in Muslim societies, the purity, the language, the Quran is so highly respected. The language of the Quran is so highly regarded and valued and appreciated that they require their formal state messages to conform as much as possible to the requirements for excellent speech that is established in the Quran. It is Quran now preserving high-class language for the nations called Islamic nations. Yes, it's the Quranic Arabic that's serving that role to keep the language high. They call it Fusha. Fusha. That's what they call it. Fusha. But what is it really? It's demand of the purity of Quranic language on the high level expressions of language. High level expressions of language. So you read newspapers. And if you don't read the newspaper, don't read a speech in there by a figure on a high level in the society, you still will get adulterated language, impure language. Divine help for establishing community. Yes, God gives us help for establishing our individual personal life, certainly. And He will always give us that help. But the bigger help is the help that He gives us for establishing our lives in community. So that our individual life and personal life will have a home in the society, in the world eventually. Yes, this is the way of God. So God gives us divine help to establish the forms that he created. God created me, an individual person, human being, an individual human being. God created me. So a personal individual. And God has given me a form, a life form, a soul, to register what God wants for me. And to register what God does not want for me. He's given me a soul to do that. Then he gives me help for this soul. He comes and gives divine help for my soul, so that I will have the life that he wants me to have on this earth. But the world is in the way. The world won't accommodate it. So then God comes with a second portion of his mercy. And he gives the help for the society, to help us establish the society, the community, the public life. He gave it to Moses. And he says, "And he will raise up from among your brethren a man like unto Moses." So here's the connection for Moses and Muhammad. Both of them were missioned by God to establish community life. Moses went up and received the law from God, and he brought it down to the people. So here is law coming to order a community, a society, a nation on earth. And Muhammad went up. God took Muhammad up and brought him down. And it was only after he took him up and brought him down that he established, applied the life, the law, the wisdom in Medina, and ordered a Muslim society on this earth. A man like Moses, peace be upon the prophets. God obligated him as the messenger of God. And before he passed, he wanted the people to be the witnesses under God, before God, that he had done his job. He would preach and say a line, or make a line of communication, a sentence, communicating to the crowds. During the great pilgrimage, the last one he was seen with or among. And after he would make the statement, he would then ask the people. He asked God, and then he asked the people too. "Have I not delivered the message?" And their response was, "Yes, you have, O servant of God, O messenger of God." They were his witnesses that he had done it. Then what did he say at one point in his great farewell address in the pilgrimage on the Holy Land, the precincts of Mecca and that vicinity? What did he say? He said, "Those who are present, take it to those who are absent. Perchance," which means perhaps or maybe, "among them will be some that will understand it better than you do." So here is a man given a great responsibility, as Allah says, "And we have sent down upon your heart a weighty word." A weighty word. That's the message of Islam. That's the Quran. Great. Weighty, great weight, great weight. A word of great weight. So here he is, before he dies, passing that responsibility to those who claim to accept that message.
Right.
To those who claim that they accept it and accept God as is revealed in Quran, and Muhammad as revealed in Quran, and Islam, the way of religion, as is revealed in Quran, he now wants to hold them responsible. So he puts them on the spot so it'd be in history that they heard and they believed. He didn't leave them in the dark. He left them with the message. And they responded, "Yes, We are your witnesses. You have delivered the message. And there was no room for anyone to come up and say, well, Muhammad is gone now. Peace be on him, or whatever they would say. You never can tell what they would say if they had this kind of mind. It's time for us now to finish the religion,
right.
To complete the religion.
Right.
They could have come up and said that. But Allah, long before that, to this day have I perfected for you your religion,
right.
And completed my favor on you,
right.
And have chosen for you, or preferred for you, Islam as the religion. No room for them to come up and say, there's some finished work to be done on the idea. And then the Prophet wanted to make it clear to them, wanted to have it on record, that they had heard it clearly from him, to obligate them to carry it on to those who didn't hear it and will come behind them, generations to come. Well, there's a lot to be said, and the time is running out. Yes, well, there'll be another time, inshallah. He told me the time. I got the time on. Didn't you see me look at my watch? I thought you were going to tell me the time. We got to go out of the building. You keep that. I'm a down-to-earth person, so just as you. Yeah, he makes one of the best salads you'll taste anywhere. And he promised me I'm going to go to his house and have a salad. I thought he was going to tell me what time his wife is expecting us to come over there and get a steak. yes. The Quran that God gave Muhammad,
yes,
we still have it just as God gave it to him.
Yes,
this is what history has preserved for us.
Right.
That it has no change. It's exactly as it came to Muhammad the Prophet.
Yes.
Only challenge for us, the ones that God will favor, to qualify for this responsibility, the only challenge is that we learn Quranic Arabic. That's the only challenge. If we learn Quranic Arabic, we can serve the carrying of this message on to the next generation. As the Prophet has obligated us, and as Allah obligates us in the Quran. Highly glorified is God. What I'm trying to tell you all is, as individuals, we're just common people. But as a community, we are responsible for the prophetic office of the greatest and last prophet of God, Muhammad. Prayers and peace be upon him. So God gives us this help to establish our individual form. Now he wants this form to be protected by a community system. So then he reveals the community system to his prophet, his messenger, his servant, Muhammad. And he teaches us that system. He leads us in the disciplines of that system so that we will know that system by word of God, by spirit of God, by word of God, and by practice in society. That's what has been done. So we have help for the individual life form, and we have help for that life form to be established in public life, in society, from Quran. And God says, you are the best community evolved or raised up or brought out of the world of darkness for the benefit of all people.
Right.
For the benefit of all people. God has obligated the community of Muslims to also live for those who are not Muslims. If we only live as a model of what God wants them to be, if they say, we don't want to hear anything from you Muslim mouths, should we stop living for them? No! We should still live for them as a model, speaking only with its beauty, speaking only with its purity, speaking with its justice, speaking with its wisdom, with its education, speaking with its elevation of man and his mind and his soul and his spirit, speaking to them quietly without saying a word, like a neon sign. Yes, flash, 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 flash. We should do that to help them if they won't accept us to join them and work side by side with them and give them the benefit of al-Islam. Thank you very much. Peace, and may God forgive us our errors and give us the destiny. Ameen.
For more on the ministry of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, Muslim American spokesman, call or write WDM Publications. Call 1-708-862-7733 or write Post Office Box 1944, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Journal, see local distributor. And thanks for listening.